Good day, everybody. It is Thursday, July 22nd, 2021. It's 8:32 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. This is the Fakeologist speaking. I come to you Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of most weeks at 8:30 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, and I'm talking to you from the North Shores of Lake Ontarible in Toronto, Ontarible, Canada, where we are in between lockdowns. I think that's the best way to describe the situation right now. And as I played Chris Sky and a number of other people have told us, we are in between lockdown. Oh, I see I got a message from the Critical Thinker, who is a Brit in Italy. And he pinged me today at 2:45 in the p.m., and he has some time to chat. But because if you do want to reach me on the Discord at fake11.com/Discord, then you ping me at fakeologist. But I only see that in the evening. In the daytime, I'm mobile, so I'm at fakeologist mobile. So you'll have to hit me there. So that's just a little tip. Okay, I don't really have any exciting things to talk about tonight other than the blog, which is my go-to. I have a blog at fakeologist.com, and I also have a video site where I put my favorites at fakeotube.com. So I'm going to play a favorite right now. It's a video that I heard or saw on the latest Dollar Vigilante walk and talk with Jeff and Lucy. It is definitely the best walk and talk truth video series out there, period. Jeff really obviously has a great handle on what's going on. He does an amazing job capturing some of the videos and truth videos of the day. I don't know if he does it all himself. It seems unlikely because it's such a big video blog that usually goes from 45 minutes to an hour and a half. So if you haven't watched it, go to FakeoTube and look for the thumbnails that look professionally done, not mine, and you will definitely enjoy some of my favorite Dollar Vigilante walk and talks. Otherwise, go to his site, dollarvigilante.com. Or he's on every platform there is except YouTube. But here's something on the, because we're talking about space and NASA and the 52nd anniversary of man pretending to go to the moon, which was right around now, I don't remember the date. So now it's in the news for a couple weeks. And of course, one of the most in plain sight fakes was the Challenger disaster, which I guess maybe was an exit strategy to wean America off the space shuttle, which was just a plane. Just a plane that didn't go too far up in the air and out of sight. And the Challenger crew, I remember where I was when we were told it blew up. And a few years later, well, many years later, it turns out that all of the astronauts were hiding in plain sight. And most of them were just using their same names. And I don't know what the excuse was that they were wandering around when they're supposed to be dead. I think the main excuse was they all had twins, identical twins, of course. But, of course, the main reason is they faked their deaths to gin up interest in the fake shuttle when the attention span of most people is very low. And unless there's some dirty laundry or drama, you're not going to pay attention. So let's watch this.
In 1986, the shuttle Challenger exploded about 74 seconds after takeoff, killing all seven astronauts inside. Or did it? It turns out that six of the seven are still alive and kicking today. Ellison Onizuka claims to be his identical twin brother, Claude. Yeah, I've got an identical twin brother, Claude, too. The Challenger pilot, Mickey Smith, hasn't even bothered changing his name. He's now Professor Michael J. Smith of University of Wisconsin. Now, Krista McAuliffe was a bit of a sneaky one. She was the Challenger payload specialist, quite famous for being a teacher. It turns out, during her astronaut days, she was using her middle name, Krista. And now she goes by her first name, Sharon. And she's a Syracuse law professor. The Challenger commander, Francis Richard Scobie, is now Dick Scobie, which sounds like a rather unpleasant disease, CEO of Cows and Trees Limited. Judith Resnick, the Challenger mission specialist, again, hasn't even bothered changing her name. She's a professor at Yale Law. And finally, Ronald McNair, another Challenger mission specialist, claims to be his identical twin brother, Carl McNair. What are the odds?
Yep, hiding in plain sight. They don't even try. And the latest thing to get people interested in space is, of course, Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos from Amazon going up in, not even to space, but right to the Kármán line, which is some kind of line where they say the Earth's atmosphere ends and space begins, but there's certainly no proof of that. Don't forget, space was invented by Disney, and all the parameters of space were set out in Disney cartoons. And NASA abides by those as if they were laws of nature. But no, they're laws of Disney animation for space. So really, the main purpose that I can gather from promoting space and promoting NASA is just to get young people interested in math and science and technology. Because the main thing that they say they spend all the money on is developing different research projects into different projects that require math and science. So they want to get boys and girls interested in this imaginary goal of doing something extraordinary in an environment outside of Earth. And then all those applications that they allegedly developed for the fake station and flight and all the things that are involved with getting a large phallic symbol into the atmosphere, all the benefits will be realized on Earth because they spent all that money developing all that technology. So it's really another noble lie where they're lying about the ultimate goal just to get people really enthralled with the idea. But in the end, we can never achieve it, or they fake the achievement just to keep everyone interested. Because when you're trying to develop and give people hope, you have to have a lofty goal. We all need goals. When people don't have goals, it's really difficult to achieve anything because you're not fighting for something. It's just part of the human condition. We need goals. But getting to space and living off Earth is the goal that NASA has been tasked with ever since it started. And so I think the people that pull off the hoax, they don't feel badly, which is why they call it a noble lie, because it's for a good cause. Developing all this technology that we can use down here on Earth. And I think the only one I can really think of right now is they said Velcro was invented for NASA. And I have a safety vest I wear usually at work, and it's Velcro. And my goodness, it really aggravates me because usually it doesn't match perfectly, the two ends or the two sides. And scratchy part of the Velcro is always rubbing against my skin and driving me up the wall. and half the time it pops open. It's just, I think of NASA every single time I'm chafed by my safety vest. Let's put it that way. Okay, let's go to fakeologist.com. Sorry, this is the end of the day for me. I start pretty early. And I don't know what it is about sitting behind the computer. I just get tired and start yawning. It's not good. Now, one page that you might want to bookmark is fakeologist.com/blog/latest-comments. All these are in the menu at the top here. And if you want to look at the latest comments, you can. And it's actually a pretty good place to keep track of my new open comment system, where I allow anyone, including registered people, to comment. I do suggest you register. That way your comments won't go into moderation. And I guess I can show you this window here. I'll bring it up. What I have to do is I have to go through the spam every now and then. Like today, in the last few hours, I've got already 26 spams. And the bots do... The bots are amazing. They're amazingly aggressive. They're pretty good. Now, here's the first spam. It's a shame you don't have a donate button. I'd, without a doubt, donate to this outstanding blog. And then you get this huge message. It sort of looks real, but of course it's not. Now, of course it's a bot, because everyone who comes to fakeologist.com knows I have a donate button. And if you don't, go to fakeologist.com/donate. So I really want to thank this bot who's selling a website for door maintenance. Thanks a lot. And it's a Russian site. So most of this is spam. What I do is I go through all these comments to look for real stuff. Occasionally, a real post goes in to the spam. Not usually, but occasionally. Now, if you want to avoid going into spam, you should register. The way you register for the blog is just send me an email at ima@fakeologist.com. So now I'm going to clear out my spam. If I keep on top of it, it doesn't get too arduous. So there's 26 comments trashed. And as you can see here, we have a lot of comments. 17,000 comments over the last 9 years. That's a lot. That's almost 2,000 per year. Now, 2,000 of them are mine. But still, that's a lot. That's a lot of comments. So pretty good interaction. And hopefully, with Canada's new Bill C whatever, maybe C-26, where they're going to... Oh, what happened to this video? Watch on YouTube. Now, why would you do that?
I'm Dr. Kevin Naidu. I'm from Reservoir Hills, Durban. We have been manning this area for the last 3 days and three nights in order to protect our residents from...
Now, that was on moreab.fakeologist.com. That was a video on South Africa. It says here... It's disabled from playing on other websites, so you got to click here to go on YouTube. That's annoying. I wonder if Ash deliberately did that. I wonder what the point would be, because you still get the view counts. So that's kind of strange. Let me just see if there's anybody in the green room or intake room tonight. I don't see anyone here. We had a new member join, More Questions and Answers. Now, she's one exception to the fact. She's one exception where she didn't have a microphone or a headset, but I let her in anyway because she's a past member of the Discord. But usually we like to voice verify just to make sure you are who you say you are. And it is a little hard to believe that in this day and age you don't have a microphone. You certainly have a microphone in your phone, and almost everyone has a smartphone, so you could put Discord on your smartphone and log in and say something. We don't need to see you. We just want to hear you. That's the point. But I do make the odd exception. So, yeah, if you're listening, more questions than answers, you're in. I'm not sure if you got the message, but you're in. Yeah, was it more questions than answers? I think it was. So the Discord's been pretty slow. As you notice, there aren't as many audios being posted. Sort of a good break. We were going gangbusters before. It was really hard to keep up. Okay, let's go to the blog. Fakeologist.com/blog. And I had a couple things I wanted to talk about. And I get a lot of stuff off Twitter. Let's just take a look here. Here's a really good post by Amanda Vollmer. And as I said last night, there's only a few people you should really follow. Amanda Vollmer is one of them. Go to her Telegram. And basically what they're saying, what she's saying here is, in this study at kidney360.asnjournals.org, if you read the article, which most people won't, they basically say that the COVID, SARS-CoV-2 viral particles are indistinguishable from the normal particles found in the body. What does this mean? It means that scientists have no way of telling the difference between what they think is a virus and what our own cellular debris is, because they are one and the same thing. So this really goes back to the old virus myth, contagious virus. And we've said this early on, back at the beginning, that you can't catch a virus. The things they're detecting are part of our normal body, cellular deconstruction. And because everyone has a metabolism that does this, you will all have some kind of particles that they call viruses and that they call contagious. And I said, substitute general symptoms of being unwell for COVIDs. So they pick some extremely general symptoms like sore throat, sneezing, coughing, which people get for any number of reasons. And they label them symptoms of COVID. So it would be very easy for people to identify with this so-called disease because almost everyone has these symptoms at some time. So the way your brain works is, since you've been told that there's this deadly virus going around, if you start coughing, the first thing you're going to say, even if it's a joke, is COVIDs, COVID, and then you're going to rush to get tested. And then, of course, you'll be tested positive because, number one, it's not a test. Number two, the process of amplification of finding anything, even the smallest trace amount, is being well blown out of proportion by a exponential magnification where you find anything and everything. And of course, Carrie Mullis, who we're told is the inventor of the test, said it shouldn't be used to test for anything because all it is a process. It's not a test, but they've twisted it into a test, and it doesn't matter anymore what the truth is because we're so far away from the beginning of the story, everyone's forgotten. And then you substitute your ordinary everyday cells for SARS-CoV-2. So they're testing for your ordinary everyday cells. It's literally like testing you for an arm. Of course you have an arm. It's part of your body. But that is what is happening. And what they do is they bury these stories in the past, so now they're forgotten memories, and they leave out words. For instance, I heard on the radio today that the Quaxine is Health Canada approved. That's a lie. Number one, it's not a vaccine. Number two, it's not approved in the normal way. It has been given emergency authorization, but they've already transformed those words that most people don't even understand because they don't look into things. They've already transformed them into approved. And that's how lies are propagated, and that's how lies become solid. Because people forget the original problem with the story, because it just keeps going on and on and on. Repeat, repeat, repeat. All of that goes into the background as simply noise, because people only have a finite amount of processing power, and they definitely don't have memories. So it doesn't even matter what the original story was. They don't even have to remember their lies. Not at all. Because they know whatever is being said today is going to be taken as the truth. Okay, next thing I listened to today, I listened to Legal Man. I do patronize him on Patreon. And Legal Man is going over some of the COVID laws, the public health laws that are being rewritten in various states, including the red states, Florida and Texas. And the main thing that he's noticed is they have specifically written in COVID-19 cannot be this exact disease or pandemic. You cannot issue vaccine passports for COVID-19. They don't say all pandemic viruses now or in the future. They just specifically wrote in COVID-19. So that is the smokescreen. That's the little candy they put into these new laws that basically sweetens the pot for a very sour witch's brew that they've created with these laws. And most of the laws are expanding the state's power in administering future pandemics, which means they're planning more. So it broadens their powers and centralizes them. So it gives more power to the states to take away public health from the counties. And you can see how that's going to go. It's just going to get consolidated all the way up to the federal government. And it'll just be more power removed from local levels and funneled and passed all the way up to the top. But Legal Man, or his podcast, The Quash, discusses. He's reading these laws. He's a lawyer and he's actually reading. Now, it's very dry material, and therefore most people running the show know people won't pay attention. They know they have no access to these laws. They have no interest in looking these up. But Legal Man actually goes through it in his normal way, normal outspoken way, makes it somewhat interesting to listen to. He's basically laughing the whole time at it, saying, these red states, they're not really red. They are just really controlled opposition to this ongoing plan. So before you pack up and move to a red state, you better be aware that they're not really on your side. And if they seem like you're on your side today, they're not going to stay on your side tomorrow. You know, to move somewhere is a really big obligation. So I don't know why you would jump out of the fire into the frying pan. I don't think that's a great idea. That's why I'm staying put. I'm not leaving on terrible. I'm gonna use whatever I can to just play in their toxic fishbowl for as long as possible. I still don't think that they'll be able to forcibly inject anybody. They will make life miserable, but I don't think they'll make it impossible. Now, I don't think anything is going to change anytime soon, that's for certain, because it's so well coordinated around the world. Now, a lot of people are hoping people start dying in September from the vaccine or going forward. I have a feeling that nobody's going to die directly from the quack scene. I think they might, some of them might get chronically ill, because I do think that injecting proteins into people is toxic and it's harmful. I think most people can probably take it, but I don't think unhealthy people have long to live anyway, based on their bad choices or maybe their life choices, and they're not healthy to begin with. I don't think injecting proteins into the blood helps them any more than helps a healthy person. But I don't think there's going to be mass culling. I'm pretty sure, I hope not anyway, just because I like human life. But if there was mass death way faster, then I think that they would lose their ultimate goal, and they lose the few people, the majority of people that believe in this. I just think they would put the brakes on the whole plan. And the whole plan is not necessarily to poison and kill people. It's just to control people. Now, I know dead people are a lot easier to control than living people, but I just don't think that they can, at this point, kill everyone off in the next year. I don't see that happening. I think their main goal is to identify everyone absolutely around the world and just make people commodities, among other things. Commodifying them seems like a very intelligent thing to do. So if we can actually measure the number of people in a country and assign a value to them based on their health, because we're going to have their health records, we're going to have their social score, we're going to have their net worth, we're going to have so much on their file, and it's going to be accessible by just about anyone in control. You're going to have absolute snapshots of the value of a country, at least their human resource value. That is the end goal. That is why everyone has to get vaccinated, because they need everyone on their system. They need everyone, not necessarily chipped, they just need everyone ID 2020. That way they can literally track everyone around the world, know where they are, know what they're worth, know what they're up to at all times. That's very powerful. And because of the power of computers today and the network is fully built out with the internet, they can do that. There's enough computing horsepower to do that. Now, would anyone be in support of that in general? I would say no. The only way you can convince people that they have to have it and make people divided and pressurized to get others who won't go along with it to go along with it is do exactly what they're doing. Create this virus scare based on a lie, 150-year-old lie, and keep it going forever, because we need people to keep on the electronic grid, keep identified so we can keep track of them forever. Even if they're just squirting saline in, they literally need to keep everyone plugged in and up to date. They need everyone's records up to date to, I would say, the half year. That is why they are going to keep this going forever. And that is why they use the virus to keep people on each other, to keep their digital ID 2020 world record updated and accurate. That's what this is all about. Now, again, the side effect is, or the side benefit is, they could potentially tailor a poison for every single individual in the world based on their overall score. Their credit score, their social credit score, their health, their finances, everything. If they wanted to knock off some ne'er-do-wells, if they wanted to sterilize a certain segment of any population anywhere in the world, because they aren't going to let you move around easily either, so it'll just be easier to keep you contained in certain parts of the world. They could do that. That is the dark, nefarious part of all of this, which is why nobody should allow anyone to inject anything into their body ever. But without that scare, They can't keep the scam going. That's the downside. So as much as I sometimes like change, this quack scene is this injectable, this biological, experimental biological injection. It is the biggest problem that I have with change. And if they drop the quack scene, then no one is going to see the need or urgency to get positively ID'd in the first, second, or third, or even fourth world. I think I listened to a podcast where they were discussing the fourth world. I can't remember what it was about now, but I'll have to check my notes. Well, that's my assessment of this situation. And I've come to that conclusion by doing all the research I do day in and day out. I still am not convinced that the quack scene is meant to do mass culling and killing and culling. I don't think that's the end game. Could be. I give it a 10% chance. And I know it makes people sick. I know the second shot, if I'm to believe in anaphylaxis, as discovered by Claude Richet, if you go to fake11.com/Anna, A-N-A, you can read his Nobel Prize speech. Go ahead and read it. And take a look at that. I think there's something to anaphylaxis. I know anaphylactic shock is real. I know when people are exposed to certain proteins that were injected into them, likely when they're young babies, they are hyperallergenic. They do go into anaphylactic shock. That's what the EpiPen is, a shot of adrenaline to get the body back to its normal metabolism. That's real. That does happen. I think anaphylaxis is definitely real. But I think it's simply because the body does not allow or accommodate proteins directly injected into the bloodstream. They're supposed to go in to the digestive tract, the GI tract. Now, this is a pretty disturbing story if it's true. Happy Yellow Badges. The Israeli government has unveiled a program called Happy Badges that will restrict attendees of large gatherings such as parties and weddings based on vaccination status. Now, this is basically what I would say most of the rallies around the world are against right now. I think there's a big rally coming up Sunday worldwide. Check your local listings. That is what they're pushing for September. And the idea that this is happening mainly in, or at least in the most perverse way in Israel is so upside down, where, of course, one of the national sayings in Israel is never again, yet they are creating a badge system, which, of course, is reminiscent of the Yellow Star, which was given to Jews in World War II in Nazi Germany to identify them. The excuse was it was going to identify you so we could protect you. Just like, of course, what these happy badges are. It's insane that it's happening in Israel, of all places, first, or at least in the most public way. That's why I said more proof of our inverted world. So what should be the opposite is happening now. The opposite of what one would expect is happening in Israel. Well, that to me is totally insane. Okay. Every now and then we find a really good Twitter thread. And here's one by Patrick Fagan. Why can some people see uncomfortable things while others can't? A psychology thread. Here's a funny cartoon. I see old Mr. Conspiracy Theory is at it again. You have this. Have a cow on this podium. He's got a picture of a diagram of the different meat cuts. of a cow. And he's pointing to the meatpacking plant, to this pasture of cows, and they're all laughing that he's nutty. So here we go. Here are some observations of a behavioral scientist. And the number one, or one of the main sciences that's running full blast around the world right now, studying you and you and you, are behavioral scientists. Yes, I think that's the main thing they're studying. They couldn't care less about the effects of the quaxine. Mainly because I think it's mostly got nothing in it. That's sort of the good news that I've concluded, as I said earlier. The main thing they're studying is the behavior of people with the pressure of the virus versus the quaxine. The virus is for the left, as Tim Osmond of Infinite Plane Radio said, and the quaxine is for the people on the right. Both of them believe in them. They both believe they're deadly. So that's the schism they've created. So we're being studied by the behavioral scientists. Okay, so willful blindness, also known as the ostrich effect. Our minds won't let us acknowledge something if it will cause psychological pain. So we ignore it. Say it doesn't matter, rationalize excuses, etc. Regression and fear of freedom. Freedom comes with risk and responsibility. Most crave a return to the submissive comfort of childhood. Oh yeah, where adults took care of everything. They want the state to take care of them. So that's why people are really ignoring the oncoming tyranny. And that's also why they're accepting it. The ostrich effect. Number two, system justification. We cannot imagine that the system we grew up in and benefited from could do us harm. We assume it always has our best interests at heart. Yeah, so people love the system. I think the other thing people never can imagine is things changing. They always resist change. They can't believe things are changing. They can't believe that the cornflakes they eat today are different from the way they were 25 years ago. But the thing about our system is it's always changing. So you really can't point to the system of old and identify it as today's system because they're not really related. Not really related. And the older you get, the more you realize that things are way different. Of course, they're almost always worse in most people's minds. People have this bias to the past where they think it was so much better, when, of course, that's almost never true. But they're definitely different. Three, terror management. Thinking about death or the idea that our psychological construction of reality might go extinct causes us to close up psychologically and become intolerant of other ideas. Okay, number four is conformity. We assume the crowd must know what it's doing, and we are terrified of being ostracized since this meant death in evolutionary terms. Yeah, so in the old days, if we left the crowd, we'd be in severe danger. If we were out alone on the range, away from the crowd, we would lose our protection. So it's much easier to stay in the middle of the crowd. I admit that's the way my personality is. I never was usually an outlier. I was always skeptical, but I always like to blend in and hide in the crowd. And I think that's what most people are like. People like Chris Sky that don't mind leading the crowd and taking a huge risk, personal risk. They are one in probably 100,000. Clearly, because if there were any more, I would even say even they're more rare, because there should be at least 10 Chris Skies in the United States if your population is 10 times that of Canada. Yet I don't know anyone like Chris Sky that's in America right now. And if they're out there, they're not getting any coverage because I haven't heard of them. So I point to Chris Sky because, obviously, he's probably the most recognized person in Canada and has been since the beginning of all this for the most part. The next point is cognitive dissonance. When something doesn't match our expectations of the world, it causes uncomfortable psychological tension, which we seek to minimize through defense mechanisms like denial. Yeah, for sure. Everyone's going to deny that this is a tyrannical takeover because it makes you uncomfortable. You might lose everything. The higher up you are in society, definitely the more cognitive dissonance because you have way more to lose. If you're making $500,000 a year and live in a $10 million house and have all kinds of debt, you definitely don't want this system to end. But if you're at the bottom, which is most young people, you couldn't care less if it comes crashing to its knees because you have nothing to lose. Your cognitive dissonance, well, you're also younger, so you have less things to dissent against in your own mind because you haven't benefited from the system long enough. You're going to have less cognitive dissonance. So for sure, the more deeply ingrained in the system, the more you believe in the system, you are going to reject all the changes you see coming before. You are going to ignore the boulder coming down the side of the mountain. Next, in-group bias. Being social animals, we tend to reject information if it clashes with our group identity. It must be wrong if the other side said it is. In fact, it can just make us even more polarized. Right, so I think that may refer more to the Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republicans in the United States, where they have definitely two sides for the most part. If the Democrats say something, then no Republican is even going to believe it. And so that's, we don't have those divides in Canada, but definitely is going strong in the U.S. Cognitive misers. We simply don't have the time nor the energy to process a lot of new complex information or change thinking habits. Yeah, why don't people look into this? And I'm no big brain person. But I've boiled it down for you very simply to it's all based on a house of cards. The central lie is the virus, that it's contagious and that it's deadly when it's actually helping and not contagious, the opposite of what they say. So I put in a bit of time. I've actually backed off listening to some of the leaders in that idea because they're saying the same thing, and I get it. I'm fine with it. They don't have to go any deeper into it. I'm good. So why don't more people look into it? Because they're cognitive misers. They don't want to use their brains. Learned helplessness. If we have learned, feel, that we are powerless, we don't even bother to try challenging the status quo. We just become passive and accepting. Yeah, maybe that's also chemical dependency, where they basically soaked all the testosterone out of men and made them quite helpless, and they've lost their ideals, they've lost their identities, because we're told that men shouldn't behave like men, and women can be just as good as men, and as a matter of fact, maybe even better, and they should do all the things men used to do, and that's they've definitely made men more helpless than women. And we've seen that in this truth world, because it's been way more women, for the most part, speaking out. Now, of course, there are exceptions and outliers. And I do like some of the guys I follow in the Canadian truth movement, like Chris Guy and Patrick King and Kevin J. Johnson. They're all doing what real men should do. And some of them, like Patrick King, even went to court himself. And he's not a lawyer in any way. He's just aggressively trying to learn. And he's being successful, which is amazing. Now, he lost his case, mind you, but he did set a somewhat of a precedent. And if you call him, he said yesterday on the Kevin J. Johnson, so he'll give you everything he's done. And you just have to take the ball from the 1 yard line and put it over the goal line, to use a football analogy. He's done all the hard work. Kudos towards him. So he's not helpless. Next is authority. We assume that those with credentials or in positions of authority must know what they're doing, so we trust them implicitly and follow their instructions. So that's a really, really good thread. Actually, let's just click on the thread. I bring super threads over to fakeologist.com so they're easier for you to find. And also, so if they get deleted, what? Now it doesn't exist. Wait, what happened here? What happened? Well, maybe I got too many dashes here. Let's try this. Yeah, sorry, I guess an extra dash got put in. So 19 retweets, 3 quote retweets, 346 likes. Let's see, how many comments? I'm just trying to read here, guys. Lack of historical knowledge. This guy's giving a few more things. Poor reasoning skills, poor understanding of language, all these things blunt perspicacity. Oh, man, I'm going to have to look that one up. Perspicacity. Okay, let's look that one up. Boy, I learn words every day. Definition of perspicacity. Let's just bring that up. How do you say that?
Perspicacity. Perspicacity.
Keenness of mental perception and understanding, discernment, penetration. Keen vision. Wow, that's a tough one.
Perspicacity.
All right. I always like to find the etymology of words, but this dictionary.com, does it have it on here? How to use it in a sentence. Under his rough exterior, Solt hid great powers of business, a keen perspicacity, and much tact. Good word. There you go. You can use that in travel tonight. What else has he got? Selfishness. I know someone that confessed they just want to enjoy their life. And here's psychologist on the subject. Oh, here's something. A 9/11 video. Always can listen to one of these.
At this point, we have 9 years of hard scientific evidence that disproves the government theory about what happened on September 11th, and yet people continue to be either oblivious to the fact that this information exists or completely resistant to...
Let's see how many views this has on YouTube. Always comes back to 9/11.
This information. So the question becomes why? Why is it that people have so much trouble hearing this information? From my work, I think we would be remiss not to look at the impact of trauma. My name is Marty Hopper, and I'm a PhD clinical psychologist. I've been working and living for the past 30 years here in Boulder, Colorado. For the past 11 years, my work has focused on helping people who have experienced personal trauma. Now, as we know, the horrors of what happened on 9/11 were televised all over the world, and they were televised, in fact, live. We witnessed the deaths of almost 3,000 of our fellow Americans. We know this...
Well, we know that's a lie. Okay, I don't want to... When I hear that, I stop listening, for the most part. Anyway, some of the... Quite a few comments on that last thread. And actually, somebody used another service called Thread Reader. Another good way of looking at these threads on Twitter that disappear quickly. Complicity. Yeah, some good stuff. So that's a really great thread that I pulled off. I usually pull off about one every few days off the Twitter. Let's go back to FakoTube. Let's see if I have another video to play. I only got about 9 minutes left. I do about an hour, by the way. And I only put 4 videos up today. Jeff's video, 49 minutes, a fantastic video today. Why don't I just take a quick look at this opening.
CDC's, CDC's greatest hits.
CDC's.
Now available. people with proof of vaccination.
You've been fast as proud.
You'll get all-time classics like... Enter and win a signed copy of the album by Brian Johnson & Johnson.
Last of the fast vaccine during quarantine. It was the worst damn shakes I have ever seen. I'm not
legendary hits like
quarantine for just 2 weeks. Stay away from me for just 6 feet. CDC will tell you.
It's Lucy and Jeff going.
That was a pretty good intro there, by the way. And I played that for Rollo, who and all the Aussies there, big AC/DC fans. Actually, that might be worth giving its own video on FakoTube. Jeff's really good with creating links, and let's take a look and see if you put the intro here. Where is it here? Usually, okay, here it is. Pfizer struck, he calls it. That was about only a minute and a half. Well, not bad. Brand's Decentral Station. Interesting. I often wonder how Jeff finds a lot of this stuff, but obviously he has people sending him stuff. So take a look at, that's a pretty small station. A pretty small channel, rather. He found Pfizer struck AC/DC greatest hits. I think that's pretty good. That's pretty damn creative. I'm going to put that, I'm going to bring that into the FakoTube because that's pretty cool. I like stuff like that. That's the kind of stuff that I like bringing into the FakoTube. So what else we got on FakoTube? Let's take one more look before we take off tonight. Been going about an hour. We do about an hour every single 4 times a week. The next time you'll hear from me is Saturday morning on the Rick and Rollo show. We're also usually joined by people like Benoit, An Ounce of Salt, Johnny's List, all fantastic guys. And, yes, definitely, just looking at the comments here. Let me just put a couple on the screen. Don't be a dog's body, loves legal man. Yeah, he's okay. I do enjoy him. He's a little bit angry and tough to listen to sometimes, but overall I find him fantastic. Yeah, Stupid. Yeah, I got a few people on YouTube tonight, Stupid. Thank you. And Boston public schools are going back to masks. Yeah, no doubt. And don't be a dog's body saying none of these resonate with me. I can't wrap my mind around it. Yeah, I guess you didn't really get those behavioral ideas. Yeah, you got to wrap your head around it. It's not easy sometimes for sure. Actually, Legal Man is going to be in a movie by Larkin Rose. Let me see if I can find him here. Apparently he did an interview. I meant to look this up. Legal Man on Larkin Rose interview. Let's just see if I can find it. Oh, here he is here. Is this it? No, that's not it.
That's sort of funny because it was really a matter of whittling down my belief in government to try to get it to be.
Yeah, he did. What did he do a movie about? I remember Larkin Rose. He did some movie. Maybe the chat can help me there. He did some movie that I played way back in my early years with Wake Up with Ab. I can't remember the name of it, but they're redoing it. They're basically reenacting it with real people. And Jeff was trying to raise money for that. And I can't quite remember what that was about. And it looks like my chat's not coming up tonight. On, let's see here, show start, chat. See if I can bring it up. Oh, here it is. Okay. Yeah, so Legal Man's going to be in that reenactment of the Larkin Rose video. So let's just try one more time to take a look at it. Larkin Rose. Holding on. Larkin Rose. Yeah, he's very prolific on there. Strange looking guy. Oh, it's the Jones Plantation. That's what it is. Maybe Legal Man will be in this one.
Mankind's existence has been plagued by an eternal struggle between a powerful minority who wish to control others and the majority who yearn for freedom.
I did not pay good money for you for your company. I paid it so that I could profit from your death.
On a 19th century sugar plantation in Puerto Rico, the slaves are growing restless and rebellious, and attempts to crush the resistance by brute force have only made things worse. The owner, Mr. Jones, fears not only for losing his plantation, but also his life. Help comes to Mr. Jones in the form of a unique consultant, Mr. Smith, an eccentric genius and former slave himself. Mr. Smith promises Mr. Jones that if he can implement some rather unorthodox methods on the plantation, his slave problems will end. Eventually, Mr. Jones cautiously agrees. Mr. Smith then gathers the slaves, and as Mr. Jones watches in flabbergast and terror, Smith decrees all of them free men and promises the excited slave rabble a fairer and more democratic plantation. Mr. Jones is initially horrified by this new plan, but his fears soon acquiesce as he sees Smith's plan quickly end the uprising and achieve a level of obedience and productivity from his slaves that he never dreamed of before. Most of the slaves fall for Mr. Smith's scheme and initially show excitement and joy at the new arrangement. As time wears on, however, some, including one slave in particular, Samuel, start to realize the ugly truth and begin to see through the sophisticated deceptions and manipulations of Mr. Smith. Seeking to free the bodies and minds of his fellow slaves, Samuel risks his life in an effort to awaken them to the pernicious effects of the new free plantation system. At the same time, Mr. Smith, always seeming two steps ahead, ramps up his Machiavellian deviousness. What had been an obvious physical enslavement by the whip before has now evolved into a more insidious and powerful bondage through cunning psychological exploitation and indoctrination.
40, 100, 150 lashes. That's scripture.
Will the Jones Plantation slaves ultimately escape their chains? Or will the designs of Mr. Smith keep them trapped and subjugated? The key to their liberation is in their own hands, if they can attain the strength and wisdom.
Definitely recommend the Jones Plantation. I can't even remember what it was about. Just take a look here. Okay, here he is.
What's up, Jones Plantation? Community, this is our first big announcement show. And on this episode, we are going to announce the actor, the non-actor, that's going to play Mr. Jones, the namesake of the film. Now, Mr. Jones is not the lead in the film. I think a lot of people think that, but
here he is.
Boy, this is a big deal, you coming out like this.
Yeah, I mean, really, I debated it, but I really, really like the concept of the project, and the reality is anybody could dox me really cared to anyway. That's soon.
So we met. I discovered you. You were a guest on Peter Quinones' podcast, Real Man Beyond the Wall. And I listened to the podcast and I got addicted to the Quash is basically Douglas just ranting for like 20 minutes. Generally, there's some different ones where you'll, you know, go through like news stories and stuff that are pretty funny. And it's, like I said, it's black-pilled as fuck, but it's also hilarious. And then I became a Patreon. And then, I don't know, like, I think for something like this film, we've got to take serious risks. And yeah. I just want talented, intelligent, quality people. And for some reason, I just came up with this thought. I'm like, man, he might actually be a really good Mr.
All right. That looks like a pretty good interview. I'm going to listen to that, and you should too. I'll put it on one of my sub-blogs. I have a sub-blog, by the way, called savechat.fakeologist.com. And that's where I put just sort of small little links that I don't really put a lot of explanation to. And I'm going to put that on there because that is well worth a listen. So yeah, it's 9:33. It is July 22nd, 2021. It is the 22nd, a 2-2 date. Now, why don't we just see if there's anything happening in the world? I'll just do a quick look at Google News. Did anything big happen today? Doesn't look like it. Ooh, some boudoir photos. Oh, that's exciting. Nothing really big is happening today. Oh, Toronto gym bans vaccinated members. That's a great idea. If 80% of your potential clients are vaccinated, I don't know what the real number is in Canada. I know they're lying because obviously every single number has been a lie or used for propaganda purposes. Looks like overall nothing much is happening around. Nothing really happening around this day. Well, maybe we'll have to wait till tomorrow for something exciting to happen. Well, it is the dog days of summer, so most people are not paying attention and they are outside enjoying life, which I suggest you do as well. All right, so we're going to wrap it up July 22nd, 2021. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys back this Sunday coming up for a regular broadcast. And don't forget the audio chat, fake11.com/discord, and the blog, and the forums, and the Telegram, and FakeoTube. So much content. If you appreciate it, fakeologist.com/donate. All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining. Good night.